Pfizer.
Blog Talk Radio.
Approve its COVID-19 vaccine at the end of this month. If the FDA gives the green light, Pfizer can start marketing the vaccine directly to consumers, allowing the shot to remain on the market once the pandemic is deemed over. Attorney General Merrick Garland is identifying international narcotics trafficking as a key focus on the southern border. Garland told lawmakers today it's a serious problem that includes illicit opioids.
The precursors of these are coming in some part from China, moving into Mexico, then moving across the border.
Mississippi Republican Stephen Palazzo says the entire border situation is chaotic. He calls it legal immigration and invasion during the Biden administration. 2 decades after the start of the war in Afghanistan, U.S. troop withdrawal is underway. However, Texas A&M's Ed Lemon, an expert on the region, is worried this will cause a power shift that will embolden the Taliban.
The Taliban usually each spring goes on offensive, and there's a lot of speculation right now that they will take advantage of the fact that the U.S. are going to withdraw.
Lemon says the region is already unstable. Only about 3,000 U.S. troops are left. The U.S. trade deficit is hitting a new record high as demand for foreign-made goods keeps increasing. The Department of Commerce says the U.S. trade imbalance reached over $74 billion in March. That's the highest level ever since January 1992. You're listening to the latest from NBC News Radio.
Have something important to say? Want to help improve our world? Need to promote your business uniquely and effectively? KKNW is the answer. Our staff helps broadcasters and podcasters create professional-sounding audio. Bring your talent and let our experts help you craft a radio show or podcast that best delivers your message. Learn more at 1150kknw.com. That's 1150kknw.com. KKNW, talk variety that's live and local.
Let angels and Reiki and the search for mystical knowledge become a regular part of your routine Thursday morning at 8 a.m. Loretta Brown, owner of Reiki Oasis, Reiki Master Teacher, an angel messenger, and healing musician, all wrapped into one as she uses her voice to share knowledge of great mysteries, energetic laws, and messages of love from the divine. Join her and her show every Thursday morning at 8 a.m. to open your heart and heal your soul. Visit ReikiOasis.com for more information about her show. And let's go ahead and take a look now for Alternative Talk Weather Outlook for Tuesday. We'll see morning clouds making way to mostly sunny skies later on this afternoon. High temperatures around 62, 63 degrees. For tonight, increasing clouds, low temperatures dropping down to about 44. For Wednesday, mostly cloudy skies with a few sun breaks. High temperatures around 68, 69 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy skies, lows down to about 53. For Thursday and for Friday, rain showers expected. High temperatures in the mid-60s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seat, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hello, everyone. I'm Robin Clare, and you are listening to the Dr. Pat Show, Talk Radio to Thrive By. I am the host of Hungry for Answers, From Recovery to Your Ultimate Life, and right here on Transformation Talk Radio. So stay with us for the next hour as we explore Mother Earth's secret for ultimate transformation. Today, I am very pleased to welcome Joanna Walden, a consciousness visionary, transformation coach, speaker, and author of The Inside Hustle, A Mystical Misfits Travel Adventure into the Unknown. So I always love on my show to talk about how I met someone. And so this is a fun story. When I was asked to host, to be a guest host for Dr. Pat, I sort of threw it up to the universe and said, I said to them, okay, what do you want me to talk about? And I have a lot of wonderful guides in the Ascended Masters. I'm actually an author for the Ascended Masters. I write books for them here on the Earth plane. So I said, whoever wants me to speak about their book or whatever you want me to do, let me know. And so about an hour later, I got an email from Joanna, and she said, oh, I listened to your show, Hungry for Answers. I wrote this book. Can I come on your show? And I thought, okay, that's interesting. And she was from New Zealand. But then the next morning I woke up, and on my King Solomon Speaks, which is my latest book, on the Facebook page, there was a message from Joanna, and it was like, oh, my God. That's how she began the message. She said, I am also a messenger for King Solomon, and I'm really attached to the earth chakras. And I said, oh, I guess King Solomon, when they duped it up out there in heaven, he must have won, and he wanted us to have this show together. So coming to us from New Zealand is Joanna, and I'm here in the U.S. So let's welcome Joanna to the Dr. Pat Show. Hello, Joanna.
Hi, Robin. Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome.
I just love those divine alignments. I mean, they're really
I love them. And when we chatted about it, I called them a spiritual setup, and you thought that was a great term.
Just the best. It's so good.
And this is really, in an indirect way, this is kind of what we're talking about, because when we get through this whole show, if folks can make the transition from spiritual to divine, then these spiritual setups just come all the time. And so it's really kind of fun, because I truly left it up to the universe, because, you know, I've been at this a long time. There's so many things I could have talked about. I didn't want to talk about the topic of my own radio show, and that's why I kind of threw it up and said, you guys decide. And here you arrive. So thank you for coming.
Oh, thank you so much again for having me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So in my latest book, King Solomon Speaks, the premise is that when spiritual seekers become divine seekers, there will be a tipping point on the planet, and the rest of humanity will rise into higher consciousness living. Mm-hmm. So when I was first guided to write this, I thought, it's interesting. We're really, what's being asked of spiritual seekers is to kick up their spiritual journey to the next level. It's almost as if we've always sort of known that we're here to lead the way, but we never really knew what that meant. And so we've been looking at our spiritual journeys on an individual level, not at what could happen on the collective level, which I find so interesting, because as a collective, if we raise our vibration, and don't worry, guys, we're going to be talking about the difference between spiritual and divine, so hang on for that. But if we can raise our vibration within the spiritual community as a collective, then we can create a tipping point on the planet, which will then help the planet to all the rest of humanity to rise into higher consciousness living. So does that mean that they're going to become divine seekers or even spiritual seekers? No. It just means that they're going to get out of their day-to-day struggle with fear and a sense of lack. So,
exactly.
Yeah, and so so this transformation from a spiritual being to a divine being means that you finally are healed enough, and you know it. And you finally know enough. You have enough wisdom, and you're going to share it. And I'm really kind of emphasizing the words, because we never think we know enough, and we never think we're healed enough. So what is it about this spiritual path that folks never think that they're healed enough or know enough to help others? What are your thoughts on that, Joanna?
Well, I mean, that was really the crux of my personal journey of evolution. You know, I think it's just, you know, the heritage of the spiritual journey, so to speak, has meant that it sort of sent people on this path, and when they are in this energy of searching or healing or whatever, you know, whatever they're focusing on, when you're in that energy, you know, of a movement toward that direction, it doesn't mean, it just means you're constantly searching or you're constantly healing, and you never are really embodying the sort of the healed or the knowing within, or the acknowledging that mastery that we all have within us. And, you know, it's just these tiny little shifts that we need to make, I think, to really land that within us so that we then embody this energy that we are truly carrying. But we sort of almost trick ourselves into thinking that we're not that already, when really it truly is all within us already, right there.
Oh, sure. It's our original, if we can call it original, nature.
Yeah.
Right? Or it's how we came here. It's what we are when we're no longer, when we're not in the physical.
Exactly.
And so truly, you know, for me, the meaning of life is to be able to recognize this divine nature, this true essence, and then live it here as a human being.
Absolutely.
So basically seeing the world through the eyes of the divine. And
yes.
Sounds easy, but certainly not. And takes years. So it's funny you use the word mastery, and I was guided today to bring up something that wasn't even in our conversations. And one time I was driving to see my mentor, and I'm driving and I hear these words. Commitment, mastery, service, leadership. And I'm thinking, oh, that's a great path, right? So I just carry on with my day. I go to see my mentor, and then I come home. 2 weeks later, I'm driving to see my mentor, and I hear the same words, commitment, mastery, service, leadership, and freedom. And I thought, yes, freedom, that's it. That's awesome. But then I said, well, I never receive anything in a count of five. Everything that I've received for any of my books has always been divisible by three. And so I'm like, I don't even know what could possibly be after freedom, right? It's the ultimate, right? So then I hear this message, I hear this laughter, and then I hear, that's because it's on the other end. And then I hear these seven stages of spiritual success: awareness, commitment, mastery, service, leadership, and freedom. And I said, yes, awareness. It's so interesting for me because you said mastery. And one of the things that I have found is that spiritual seekers get caught in the mastery stage because they never feel that they have the mastery. And so they're going to keep learning and learning and learning because they never feel like a master. Right. And I remember when a dear friend of mine, I was having a struggle with the word master because she wanted me to use something master, spiritual master, energy master, something in my title. And I'm like, I can't do that. And she's like, think of master as mastery, not that you have mastery on a topic. And so I would really encourage our listeners to really be able to embrace their mastery. And so I thought I would share that because these seven stages are very interesting. So what do you think about this new level of evolution required for the spiritual community, this movement from spiritual to divine, this movement of knowing you're healed enough and knowing you know enough to be able to fulfill your destiny?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's absolutely where we are all at. And whether, you know, some of us are aware of it very consciously in certain ways and other are, you know, playing it out in a different kind of way altogether. But all of it, I think, is coming back to this mastery that we carry within and aligning and bringing that forward and knowing, just feeling into that knowing and embodying of that and bringing that forth onto the planet. Because we all, as you say, have this individual divine, you know, blueprint coming on, or this mastery within us that is really the truth of who we are underneath all the programming and patterns and layers of the human experience. And I think once we get into alignment within with all of those things, then we just live a more amazing life of ease and grace in alignment with ourselves and everything else on the planet. So,
yeah, I would agree with that. And what I've known in all the in all of my time working on my own journey and helping others as a coach, we're really unveiling this knowledge. There's, if we're here now as serious spiritual students, we've been here a lot of times, right? Because this is the lifetime that we can make this transition to the gold, you know, we're in the golden age now, this higher age of evolution. And so if you're here as a spiritual student, a spiritual teacher, a yoga teacher, anything related, or you're doing something else completely, but you're really following your spiritual journey, it's important to know that all of the knowledge and wisdom that you're seeking is already inside of you, and that's what you've been saying. And so it's a matter of unveiling it. It's not a matter of learning it for the first time, right? And hopefully when you embrace this unveiling, then it becomes easier,
exactly.
Right? It becomes easier to accept that maybe you can kick it up a notch, because we're going to need you to, as we go into other segments of this episode, we're going to need everybody to really be willing to kick it up. So another question I had for you is, did you struggle with a lack of confidence in your journey to becoming a spiritual coach?
Yes, I think I was, you know, in that pattern in the spiritual community of, you know, the constant searching, the constant trying to figure it out, and I wasn't, because of the nature of that and the energy that goes along with it, I wasn't embodying and allowing myself to tap into what I already knew. So I don't know if it were, I think the confidence, yes, is aligned on that level with it, because, you know, it was almost like I just had this doubt that kept plaguing me. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I had to move through that by changing the way that I was operating my energy and the way that I was feeling about myself, and owning that mastery and owning and really getting, sinking into that deep knowing within what I truly was, rather than all the stuff that was playing out in my human experience.
Yeah, yeah, because I sure did. I struggled with a lack of confidence for years. Part of it was because in my story, I was in addiction for 40 years with food disorders. And so I always felt almost like a fraud around being a spiritual teacher, even though I was getting opportunity after opportunity. And what I discovered is that I had this sense of goodwill that I wanted to help people, and I had a really great sense of divine will, meaning that I was willing to do whatever was asked of me. I always joke because my spiritual mantra is bring it on. And so I was willing to do anything. What I was missing was my own personal will, which was my story of addiction and what my show, Hungry for Answers, is about. It's about this, the journey from recovery to your ultimate life. But one of the things that, you know, I discovered is that what I needed to do was figure out what I was suffering over. And I want everybody to understand that our suffering is not just our own individual suffering from this lifetime, which could be a lot, but there's a collective suffering within the spiritual community. And then if you're a spiritual woman, you get a double level of suffering, because you have the collective energy of suffering for women across eons of generations. Mm-hmm. And so you have to begin to decipher what is your own suffering and what is that of the collective. Mm. And that's not an easy task. And that's why I always encourage everyone in when they're listening to Hungry for Answers to really, if you're on your spiritual path and you really want to make it to the divine path, you really need to heal yourself. You need to find a way to look at your trauma patterns and heal them. What do you think about that?
Yeah, and I think it's important to recognize that we all come in as a soul, you know, with the divine plan, and part of it is, you know, not just doing that healing or that transmuting of old patterns for ourselves and our family line, because we do that when we do that healing on ourselves, it continues right back many generations down our family line. But it's also for the human collective and for the planet and for bringing light to those, the dark and those patterns that are kind of plaguing us and standing in the way of a more beautiful, loving, higher consciousness kind of society that we're moving to.
Yes, that's beautiful. So we're heading towards our first break now, and you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by, and this is Robin Clare, your host. And I'm here with Joanna Walden, and we'll be right back.
You know, marriage is not always easy, but skills that improve communication go a long way. Tune in to the Relationship Rehab Show, Recovering Happiness in Your Love with Nancy Landrum and Dr. Pat each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Nancy is an author and teacher empowering couples to create and sustain loving marriages. Learn to listen, speak, and handle conflict with respect so your love can flourish. To learn more about Nancy and her work, visit nancylandrum.com.
Not just talk, conversation for profound self-awareness. Stick with us. Your best life awaits on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
I'm the host of Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with Dr. Mary Angela McGuire on Transformation Talk Radio. I share ideas, insights, and tools you can use to release yourself from fearful and negative thinking and live from a place of clarity and confidence. Please join me in each show where we challenge ourselves to change together. Please go to my website, McGuireLifeCoach.com. That's McGuireLifeCoach.com. See you next time.
Close your eyes and imagine what it would feel like to live a life driven by purpose and passion. Feels great, doesn't it? Tune in to Awareness to Action every first and third Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific with me, Joan Marlowe. I'm here to help you navigate your unique journey toward purpose while embracing your authenticity. Visit my website, peacefullyhealing.com, and don't miss Awareness to Action on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Juggling life's relentless demands can leave us unbalanced and restless. Do you feel stuck in the overwhelm? Diane McClay is a personal empowerment coach, author, and compassionate storyteller on a mission to boost you into balance and help you move forward with passion and purpose. Get unstuck with Diane on The Diane McClay Show every second and fourth Friday at 1:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Diane, visit DianeMcClay.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show, Talk Radio to Thrive By. And I'm Robin Clare, your guest host, and I'm here with Joanna Walden. And to find out more about me and my offerings, please go to clarity.com. That's Claire, C-L-A-R-E-I-T-Y.com. And before we get more into this conversation, Joanna, can you share with everybody how they can connect with you?
Absolutely. Thanks, Robin. They can connect with me at my website, which is joannawalden.com. So that's joannawalden.com.
That's great. So I would like to talk about this next topic. In King Solomon Speaks, we are talking about this idea of raising our vibration to an idea that we can do this raising our vibration if we align our individual chakras with the earth chakras. And so that was interesting. That it seemed like that was an interesting way to do this. And many of our listeners may have visited many of the earth chakras and may not even aware of their chakra status. So I thought it'd be kind of cool, and you can help me with this, it'd be very cool to talk about the alignment of the chakras. So what are chakras? They are the energy centers in our body. They're part of our energy body, and basically they just keep us going. They're like give us our energy and keep us going and keep the energy flowing in and out of us, because when we have a physical body, you know, we have our physical body and we have an energy body. And the best way that I always look at it is the physical body is very dense, and you can get what we call disease in it. But the energetic body is very light, and we can have disruptions and things in the energetic body if our chakras are not open and spinning, and we call that dis-ease. Exactly. In the chakra system. So we want to keep our chakras humming. We want to keep them open and humming. And so there are seven chakras that correspond to seven earth chakras. So the first chakra is the root chakra, and that's our chakra of safety and security. And so on the earth plane, the first chakra on Mother Earth is Mount Shasta, and this is a great and powerful mountain in Northern California. And I've been there. It's pretty amazing. The second chakra, which is located in our sacral area, is all about our creative nature and our sexual nature. And this second chakra of the earth is centered on the island of the sun in Lake Titicaca on the border of Bolivia and Peru. So we're sort of going down because we're following serpent patterns or energy patterns across the earth. It's like a figure eight, basically, of energy that's going across the earth. So the third chakra, which is in our solar plexus, is our chakra of self-esteem and personal power. And the third chakra of the earth is in Australia's Northern Territory at Uluru or Ayers Rock. The name used to describe the vast red rock structure. So that's your neck of the woods.
Yeah, it is.
Right, where you grew up. And so the fourth chakra in the human energy system is the heart chakra, or the connection to our own inner divinity, our connection to our own divine source. On the earth, the fourth chakra is located in the green and pleasant lands of Glastonbury, England. The fifth chakra on the human energy system is the throat chakra, and this is where we're able to speak our truth and our will. Mm-hmm. And the fifth chakra on the earth is shared between the Great Pyramids of Egypt and Mount Olives in Israel. The sixth chakra is the third eye chakra, and for me, this is my connection to my spirit guides and my angels. But for the earth, it's located in Western Europe, and when I wrote King Solomon Speaks, I was guided to make the sixth chakra at the Camino de Santiago for purposes of this book, The Great Walk from in the area of Spain. And then the seventh chakra up here in the human energy system, the crown chakra, is our connection to all divinity, both seen and unseen, all universal energies. And the seventh chakra is located at the crown of the earth at Mount Kailash in Tibet. And so I just wanted to I wanted to share that with everybody so that they would know what we're talking about. So Joanna, I know that you're also a sacred tour leader. You are aligned with the energetic importance of our relationship with the earth. So can you share with our listeners why connecting with the earth in general is essential?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's important just to remember that we are a part of the earth, you know. Yes, it is our home, but we don't live on it. We are a part of this living organism that is the earth, and we contribute to it, and our energy affects everything on it in many different ways. And so, you know, the earth contains the same beautiful divine intelligence that runs through all things as we do. And so when that comes together, we really connect with an expanded part of our being in a beautiful way. And I think that going to these sacred sites, and I've been attracted to them all of my life, and, you know, I've been to six of the seven that you just listed out.
Oh, my God, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. And so did you have any kind of unique experiences at them that you would want to share with our audience?
It's been varying different things. You know, I remember feeling when I went to Glastonbury, I did recall feeling quite connected to my heart in that time, you know, and that was when my heart was quite closed. So I was actually attracted to it because I was working to open my heart. Now that I, you know, take a step back after years, I recognize this, but at the time I was just attracted to go there, but my heart was quite closed. And so I'm really aware now of the underlying reason why I was going to a lot of these places around the earth. And I really also had a beautiful affinity to the island of the sun, in Lake Titicaca. I found it just a really magical place that felt like nowhere I'd ever felt before. And, you know, I was having different sort of energy experiences, and they were all very, very different, but I definitely felt a resonance and an attraction to those places, and I felt some kind of joy or magic or deep sort of connection and fulfillment while I was visiting, for sure.
Yeah, and I think too, when we do this, so in King Solomon Speaks, there are a series of seven meditations to align your chakras with the earth chakras, and I think to think about that is anybody who's ever done a chakra meditation, which I'm sure there are a lot of people here who are listening that have done that. Think about the idea of the resonance between you, your chakra, and the earth chakra. And if you were there now, or even etherically there, right, if you were doing these meditations, how much more powerfully open and spinning your own chakras would be if they were aligned with the corresponding earth chakra.
Yeah.
And there's so many things we could even say too, like how much more aligned to the earth you would be. I even noticed writing the book, every time I would work on the meditations, you know, I'd have to say them out loud or time them because I recorded them for everybody. I could feel my chakras opening every time I worked on the book and each time I worked on the recorded meditation. So you don't have to necessarily go there, and I'm hoping people will be able to go there once we've got this COVID situation under control.
Yeah.
But you can go there in your meditation.
Absolutely.
And
really
in the book, I have beautiful pictures too, you know, corresponding to each of the chakras. So you shared some of your experience. Which one haven't you been to yet?
I haven't been to the crown chakra, but interestingly enough, and that's in Mount Kailash in Tibet, but interestingly enough, you know, where we're moving to and the way that the earth is evolving, and as are we, all of those chakras, there's also new earth chakras. And so the new earth crown chakra is here in New Zealand at the bottom of the South Island, and I have visited that. So interestingly, it's just incredibly beautiful energy aligned with the new earth that we're going to. So all of these chakras on the earth are being upgraded.
Let's talk a little bit about that when we come back from the break. You're listening to the Dr. Pat Show, and this is Robin Clare and Joanna Walden, and we'll be right back. Tune into the show Heart Change Consciousness with me, Dr. Trish DeRocher, as stories of inspired activism come to life. Listening to conversations with your favorite authors, change makers, and many more who practice inspired spiritual activism and transform vulnerabilities into sources of strength. Let's be inspired together through my show, Heart Change Consciousness, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Learn how to lead a happier life on Miles to Go with Brittany Miles. How to lose to gain it all. Join Brittany every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Listen as coach and healer Brittany Miles shares stories that teach you about surrender. For more information about Brittany, MilesToGoCoaching.com.
Get empowered on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Welcome to Blue Lightning Healing Meditation. I'm Susie Parker Owens. I'm a channel bringing through spirit guides in accessible and resonant ways for you to connect with your higher self, sharing soul-level conversations to help you on your spiritual path. I upload weekly, channeled messages, interviews, and information on a variety of topics, sharing my learning and opening doors for growth. You can find a listing of upcoming podcasts at BlueLightningHealing.com. Until next time, blessings.
It's your turn to reclaim your life. Experience the unmitigated joy of breathing life into your own passion, into your own purpose, with me, Life Coach Ricky Schwartz, at MyTurnLifeCoaching.com. In the meantime, tune into my show, My Turn Life Coaching, live every second and fourth Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
So hi, we're back on the Dr. Pat Show with me, Robin Clare, and your guest host. And for more information on me or my offerings, please go to clarity.com. That's clarity.com. And so we're going to do our first giveaway to our first three callers at 1-800-930-2819, and I'm going to give away the ebook and the recorded meditations for King Solomon Speaks, and I'll get those to you soon thereafter. So call away if you want them. Okay, so today I have Joanna Walden talking about with us about the personal and global transformation possible for all of us. So, Joanna, why should personal transformation be a high priority for anyone?
Well, I mean, I think we're all going through this state of evolution and change. I mean, you can just take one look at the planet and you can see what is going on. And when we actually start to embrace our own personal transformation, not only can we cope with what is going on in the world around us that much better, but we come to just a beautiful, more compassionate, loving state within ourselves. And that is actually really important to be holding that energy at these times of great change on the planet. And when we also do the work in our inner level, it's so exciting because we just uncover these untapped parts of us. There's all this wisdom and mastery and divine intelligence waiting for us to open it up. It's like a treasure box that's inside us. And, you know, I find that really exciting because it makes life more magical no matter what you're doing or where you are in the world. And it just makes everything, I think, in our life experience more deeply fulfilling, and we're better able to navigate our human journey when we align with these kinds of more advanced kind of thinking about who and what we truly are underneath this human experience that we're having.
Yeah. And one of the things you said earlier that I'd like to come back to is this idea that when you go on your personal transformation journey, you not only do healing for yourself, but you are doing the healing for your family.
Yep.
And so you may be the brave one. Right? Mm-hmm. You may be the one that's willing to take a look at all the crap that happened, right? In your childhood, your teen years, your, you know, you may, by healing yourself, you heal your relationship with your parents. So that sounds hard to people, but really, honestly, it's really about acceptance, right? You don't have to condone anything your parents did, but you have to come into some form of relationship with them that allows you to have that peace and to be able to move further on your journey. So let's talk about how will folks know in their day-to-day journey that transformation is happening. Like, what are the signs that the universe is giving that shows people that they're supporting their growth?
Well, I notice a lot for myself and my clients that when we come into the state of doing the work within us, and it's about making little changes, by the way. It's not like one great big silver bullet that's going to solve everything. But I do find that people are happier in themselves. They're less reactive maybe to other people. They ultimately just automatically hold a more compassionate view for others and ourselves. And, you know, it feels like you almost get into this beautiful alignment within you and you experience flow in your reality where you don't have to sort of fight or chase or try and control things. Everything just comes to you exactly what is meant for you, and there's not a lot of effort required, actually. You become into this flow state, and what you need and is perfect for you at the time just comes to you much more easily and with a lot of grace. And so I find that that is one of the main things, and you align with beautiful synchronicities. I think an increase in synchronicity is also a really good thing to note. And sometimes you also might just, you know, see number patterns or symbols from animal messengers, or the way that our reality, or the subtle ways it communicates with us to let us know that we're in alignment and affirm the path ahead of us.
Yes, and we are that, right? You and I, we are synchronicity, right? And alignment.
Yeah.
Because that's what I asked for.
Yeah.
I knew that we wanted to do a good job here because it's such an honor to have this opportunity. And I said, let's do this. Let's find the right combination. Last week I was in Florida, and I think this is a really good understanding of the connection to the earth and to her inhabitants. I was in a bird sanctuary, so you can imagine how loud that is.
Yeah.
And so I stood in front of this bush of these giant birds, pelicans and all kinds of birds, herons. And I said, I'm going to come into oneness with these birds. And so I stood in front of the bush. I closed my eyes. This is at sunrise. And I sent out all of this loving energy to these birds, this energy of oneness and connection to them. And I had my eyes closed, and I sent out this vibration, and all of a sudden, they all stopped squawking. It was silence in the bird sanctuary for like 10 seconds.
Amen.
And I knew that I had made a connection of oneness with them. And this, I think, is the magic that you were talking about earlier, that when we align with our own divine nature, our own divinity, which is, of course, the oneness with all universal energies,
yes,
these type of miracles can happen. I call it my magical mystical tour, because I just watch for them to happen. And I'm so aware. And guys, the more you're aware of synchronicity, which is around us all the time, the more you're aware of it, the more it happens. It's not that it's happening more, really. It's that you're seeing it more. And so every time, so what is synchronicity? So synchronicity is coincidence fueled by spirit.
Mm-hmm.
In case you're not sure what that word means, it's, you know, coincidence. And there really are no coincidences. We all learned that in the Celestine Prophecy 30 years ago. But it's coincidences fueled by spirit. And we're all having them. And as I said, the more you pay attention, the more you have them. So during the pandemic, it seemed like people got busy with personal transformation or fell victim to the fear and stress of the situation. And maybe a little combination of both. What was it like for you, Joanna, and what did you personally do to accomplish your personal transformation during last year?
Well, funnily enough, I was right on the tip of launching my book, The Inside Hustle. And, you know, I could have delayed, it was that choice, do I delay this? And at that point, I thought it might be months, not a year. And, you know, I just decided to, something in within me just said, no, just get it out there. And I'm so glad I did. And so I launched it. So I was very busy launching my book, getting it out there, getting readers on board, you know, receiving beautiful comments of how it's helped shift and recalibrate people and their energy signatures. And so that time for me was a really beautiful time. And, you know, I did have time to go inward because I found there was actually less noise. You know, I tuned out of the whole sort of, you know, updates every day on the various states of being in the world with the pandemic, and I actually just chose to spend that time going inward. And I had the time to go for beautiful extended walks and, you know, while we're in lockdown here in New Zealand. And I also was tuning in and just checking in with myself to see what is this bringing up for me? What is this wanting me to, you know, allow myself to look at on a deeper level that I wouldn't maybe usually have time to do? So I was very aware of everything that was happening, and that consciousness was coming in to help me navigate the moments where I wasn't feeling that amazing and things were a little scary, you know? I mean, I think everyone had that moment of like, oh, goodness, I'm really not sure what's going on here, and just navigating the ups and downs and also tuning in whether this was actually mine or whether I was tapping into more of the collective energy on the planet that was going on with all of the, you know, different people having various kinds of experiences on one end of the scale to the other. So, you know, I birthed my book, and although there were challenges brought up by the pandemic, I just navigated those with as much ease and grace as I was able to during that time. And I found it a really amazing, expansive experience. And I really actually enjoyed that first lockdown and the first stages of that. And I really embraced it and loved it. Maybe the second or third lockdown, not so much, but the first one, I really, really, really enjoyed and valued that time I had. Mm.
Yeah, so for me, what was so beautiful about it is my adult children came home, and I never would have thought that was going to happen, and then it became, you know, just an understanding for all of us how to live in the house together again. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that my husband and I did is we decided that we would make our time, we would get healthy. And so we started like healthy eating, healthy exercising, and just trying to stay grounded because it was scary for sure, right? We didn't really know what was happening. We didn't know. And it's still scary for so many people. I pray every day for the countries in the world that are still experiencing such strong reaction to the COVID. So my prayers are with them every single day. But what I found is that the more that I focused on my own wellness, opportunities began to come to me, like the Hungry for Answers radio show and different things. And I knew that by coming into alignment with my own inner world, that I could begin to expand outwardly. Mm-hmm. So that's why I love these meditations, too, for this connection of your own chakras to the earth chakras, because they allow you to go inside and begin to really heal from the inside and then expand outward to be able to do what it is that you most likely want to do in the world. So we're going to take a third break now. But before we take this break, can you give your contact information one more time, Joanna?
Sure. You can find me on Instagram or Facebook at I Am Joanna Walton, or you can find me on my website, which also has links to all my social media, and that's at www.joannawalden.com, and that's Walden, W-A-L-D-E-N.
Nice. So you are listening to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Robin Clare. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we're going to learn a little bit more about Joanna's work, so stay tuned.
Can't get enough of iSoul Radio? Join psychic medium Jamie every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Take a deeper look at the raw side of spirit. Nothing is off limits. Connect with lost loved ones and explore these vulnerable subjects with the compassionate guidance of psychic medium Jamie. You are not alone. Eye of Soul, Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Get empowered on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Not just talk, conversation for profound self-awareness. Stick with us. Your best life awaits on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
We figured by the time we turned 50, we kind of had life figured out, but we were not prepared for the realities of midlife. Tune into And That's When I Realized, the truth and comedy of midlife, with me, Susan Dolce,
and me, Leon Dyer, every second and fourth Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You're not alone in these challenges, and sometimes you just gotta laugh.
Find us at SusanDolce.com
and LeonDyer.com.
So we're back on the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm Robin Clare, your guest host, and I'm here with Joanna Walden, and we're going to give a giveaway now, and we're going to the first caller at 1-800-930-2819. Joanna has generously offered her six-day recorded course called The Abundance Code. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that. It sounds like a great course.
Yeah, it's really amazing. So the lucky winner will be ready to go.
That's great. So let's talk about your book, The Inside Hustle, A Mystical Misfits Travel Adventure into the Unknown. I really like that title. Mm. What inspired you to write this book, and what do you want your readers to walk away from after reading your book?
Well, I was really, you know, I've been on a sort of personal journey of evolution or a spiritual journey or whatever you'd like to call it for many years, because I just felt that the career life of trying to get to the next level in advertising, which is what I used to do, wasn't really giving me that level of fulfillment or a deep knowing of myself that I knew was really underneath it all. Mm-hmm. And so it set me off on a series of adventures which take me all around the world, and it's sort of more the comedy. There is a version of that. There's a lot of humor in here. I sort of describe it as Bridget Jones meets Eat, Pray, Love on steroids. So, but it really, I wrote it because I found I was going down various sort of paths in my journey that actually were disempowering myself and not really leading me to where I wanted to get to. And, you know, just those kind of little nuances that we were talking about earlier in the show about being in the energy of search all the time, and then you're never actually landing it because you're just constantly searching for the answers, you know. All of those kind of things I really wanted to bring to the surface, these little nuances that are so important in us being able to come back to our mastery and really align with that within. And so, you know, I go to all sorts of places and sacred sites around the world, and mm-hmm. I just wanted to share people journeying to these places who maybe couldn't get there in person as well, and just shine a light on some of these things that I sort of felt kind of detracted from me potentially maybe coming into this place of really deep knowing and fulfillment within a little earlier. So I thought if I could help someone else, I would absolutely love to do that. Maybe my personal journey could help others make theirs even more, aligned with even grace and expedited universe.
That's wonderful. So it made me think that, you know, a lot of times on our spiritual journey, we may hear something, we may be guided, we may receive a message from another person about something on our journey, and we're typically like, when, now, jump, how high, right? Like, we're just like, I got to do this now because I got a message. And for me, that discernment was so important, that just because I'm hearing something or someone is saying something to me, I have to know if it's right for me. So what I was guided to understand, I love this expression, when I hear something in a reading or someone tells me something or I think I hear something in my meditation, I always hear, stay in your lane. That's right. Stay in your lane, because that's how you'll know that the message is truly for you. And it may sound like it's not in your lane, but it's for later on. Mm. So you have to be able to make that level of discernment as you move further and further along on the spiritual journey. So in my books, I discovered the journey from spiritual to divine is outlined quite nicely in all of them. I'm working on my fifth book now. I wrote the outline last week, so I'm really excited about it. It's called The Reluctant Mystic, which explores the historical and current reasons we are reluctant to share our spiritual gifts and our divine purpose. So my question for you is, have you seen that type of hesitancy with your clients, like having a hesitancy to fulfill their divine destiny and purpose? And if so, what type of programs do you offer to help them reach their ultimate life?
Yeah, I mean, I think rumbling in the background is always people wanting to be in line with their destiny and purpose. But then sometimes we get really fixated on, I've got to find my purpose. And actually just being in the most loving, compassionate state with yourself and all other beings is, and you bringing that beautiful light of your individual divine blueprint to the planet is all that you need to do. So, you know, I think rather than a hesitancy, it sometimes is a bit more of an obsession about it. But, you know, I do take people through my signature 12-week transformation program. Really goes deep into getting beneath all the stuff in the way of us connecting with that divine blueprint within, or our divine destiny, or whatever you want to call it. And,
you know,
it's looking at things in just another way and bringing light to a new perspective to how we are viewing ourselves and what we're doing in our daily life.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. That's why I love working with my writing coaching clients, because I work with folks that have come into recovery from whatever they're suffering over or were suffering from, and now they want to use their journey to help heal others. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I spend most of my time. If I'm not writing or doing my radio show, I am working with these amazing people who are writing these books and helping them to create, hopefully, a best-selling book for their information. So let's just so I want to start to say goodbye.
Yeah.
It's such a pleasure to be with you. And it was my honor to host the Dr. Pat Show with my special guest, Joanna Walden. And Joanna, as noted earlier, we were mystically brought together from both ends of the globe to share this conversation with you. And we're both available to be with you and to help you on your journey from spiritual to divine. And I invite you to listen to my radio show, Hungry for Answers, From Recovery to Your Ultimate Life, on the first and third Thursdays at noon Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. And that would mean this Thursday is my next show. So I'm excited about that, where we'll be talking about, can pain be a gift in your life? So thank you so much, Joanna, for journeying with me today. And I look forward to seeing where our divine connection takes us next. So until then, everyone, you should stay healthy and stay connected. And namaste to all of you, and blessings. Take care.
views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Tuesday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for Around the Sound over on I-90 westbound just east of I-5 or on mile post number 3. A recent collision partially blocking the two right-hand of the lanes. It's a response team tow and state patrol have arrived on the scene, and they are taking care of those motorists. Stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news and weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This time, it's new discoveries in self-care. Not your mama's bubble bath and pedicure. The special guest host, Sabrina Wright.
NBC News Radio, I'm Tom Roberts. At least 27 people are dead and dozens more injured, according to new reports from NBC News, in the overpass collapse in Mexico City that sent a train plunging into traffic below. NBC's Gadi Schwartz says there is no longer a rescue mission underway.
This morning, authorities said they don't think that they're going to find any more survivors, but there still may be some more bodies to recover. Now Mexico's president and the mayor are pledging to get to the bottom of whatever caused this catastrophic failure.
The city's mayor reports some of the victims are children. Hail, flooding, tornadoes, and hurricane-strength winds could impact the South today. Correspondent Blaine Alexander reports the region is already trying to recover from previous storms in the past few days.
We do know that there is another round of severe storms set to blow through starting later today as millions, perhaps 28 million people across the South are bracing for another possible round as they continue to try and clean up from the past few days.
At least one person was killed in a tornado in the Atlanta area yesterday. Wyoming Congresswoman Liz Cheney, the third-ranking House Republican, is responding to growing criticism from her party about her comments and leadership. In a statement, she says, this is about whether the Republican Party is going to perpetuate lies about the 2020 election and attempt to whitewash the January 6th attack on the Capitol. Vice President Kamala Harris says addressing migration in the Western Hemisphere is necessary. Speaking virtually at the Conference of Americas today, Harris said citizens in the Northern Triangle countries of El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala are leaving their homes at an alarming rate because they have lost hope.
Today, I want to make clear that our administration firmly believes in the potential of the region and in the power of the people of the region.
Lawyers for Los Angeles County are asking the judge to dismiss an emotional distress lawsuit from Kobe Bryant's widow, Vanessa. You're listening to the latest from NBC News Radio.
The Spud Goodman Show, Sundays at 4, here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Here comes the Spud Man, put this down easy. Here comes the Spud Man.
Greetings. Welcome. And let me reassure you, if you just accidentally, you know, landed on our show, it will cause no long-term genetic damage to you and your future family tree.
Don't miss the Spud Goodman Show every Sunday at 4 o'clock here on Alternative Talk 1150 for music, comedy, and more.
And let's go ahead and take a look now for Alternative Talk weather outlook for Tuesday. We'll see morning clouds making way to mostly sunny skies later on this afternoon. High temperatures around 62, 63 degrees. For tonight, increasing clouds. Low temperatures dropping down to about 44. For Wednesday, mostly cloudy skies with a few sunbreaks. High temperatures around 68, 69 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy skies. Lows down to about 53. For Thursday and for Friday, rain showers expected. High temperatures in the mid-60s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next to you.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Welcome, everyone. And I'm a different face than what you're typically expecting. My name is Sabrina Wright, and I'm your guest host today, and I would like to thank Dr. Pat for this opportunity to share with you one of my most, I guess you could say it's the conversation I have with most people. I want to introduce myself if you're not familiar with me. I'm a holistic health and wellness advocate. I'm a consultant and a counselor. I'm an encourager and an educator and a therapist, all in the wellness field. I've been practicing for 17 years and work with a lot of integrative medical professionals. And what I have found is that the best way to approach health, healing, happiness, life is to approach whole person care. So that means body, mind, and spirit. When I'm working with clients, I've found that in every single case, no matter how they find me or what brings them to me, that physical health and well-being is the most important factor to address. And everyone is unique in their experience and their challenge and their struggle with health. So there's really no single strategy that works. It's not a cookie cutter type of answer. So what we do is we work together to make shifts, lifestyle changes and choices, and shift even the mind and the beliefs and the thoughts that you have, and we work at changing those factors and components of your health so that you can live a healthy, happy, vibrant, and vital life. So today we're talking about long-term implications of self-care, whether you practice self-care or you don't practice self-care. And what does it truly mean to have self-care? And you're probably asking, well, how do I even know what it looks like in my life? Again, it's different for every single individual. And today, this topic is near and close to my heart. And I'm going to be asking for some input and insight from not only my producer, Jacob, but also from my Benny, how do I introduce you?
You can address me as however you wish. I mean, if you wanted to do the solo name like Prince, Cher, I can go by just Benny if you want. I'm okay with that. Make it simple for everybody.
All right. So we're going to be talking. We're going to open the phone lines, too, because this is really an important conversation to have. So first and foremost, thank you, Dr. Pat and Transformation Talk Radio and KKNW for the opportunity to have this conversation with you all, to show up and create thoughts and hopefully perspective shifts, small perspective shifts, so that we can work individually and collectively and together in happiness, health, vitality, through self-care. So the phone lines are open, 1-800-930-2819. Please call in with your questions, your comments, share some challenges, share your wins. What are some things that you're doing that have been a shift, especially during this last year, that have improved your life? So, to start out the hour here, Jacob and Benny, you're men. And typically, our society or even our health environment markets toward women. And self-care is a universal community type of experience, and it needs to be individualized as well.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have self-care? Do you even know what your self-care is?
I know for me, self-care, I can start things off. This is Benny. And, you know, I do a lot of giving back for others already, and I still continue to do that on a daily basis. And I think I've been obviously doing that for the last 20 years on the air and radio here. If I don't, it kind of frustrates me. It really is. So honestly, my self-care is still giving back. And it's a struggle actually for me to accept rather than give. So I try to frame that around as much as possible, even though it's kind of like what I do anyways. But it is a challenge for, I will speak to for myself, for men in general, as, you know, and we're not as open to the fact. But that would be a start for sure.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. What do you find replenishes and refreshes your spirit?
Oh, boy. Let's see here. A lot of, like, so, I mean, of course, what I do, it's a lot of, sometimes it can be like a hurry up, and then there's, like, the lull. Usually after the lull, I really want to kind of separate myself and kind of just tinker on things. I'm a big tinkerer. I have built cars in the past, and I still continue to tinker with that kind of stuff. That brings my self-care mind down to a grounded level, and for just to slow down a little bit. It calms me. I have a lot of patience with it. Raising my two boys, I mean, if I couldn't get any more calmer than that, or at least attempt to, it stretches my patience a little, but I enjoy it there as well. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There, you've got exercise and movement and creativity and fun.
Right.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, which you've heard Dr. Pat talk about her knees, and I'm in the, you know, our knees are getting old, so we're trying to protect them as long as we can.
Exactly. Absolutely. So, hey, Jacob, how about you?
Yeah, you know, it's funny Benny mentions kind of the giving back thing, and I relate to that too, and it's hard for me to say no, though. I kind of come at it from a different approach,
mm-hmm.
and I really do enjoy helping people and giving back, and also I don't really know when to stop sometimes. And so one of my self-care practices is actually being able to say no and not feel bad about it, I think. You know, not in like a disrespectful or mean way if whoever's asking for something, but just say, hey, for me right now, I'm not able to do that. I would love to help another time, but right now I have to say no, and that kind of gives me a little bit more rest so that when I am available to help, I'm not doing it from a place where I'm already exhausted or kind of beaten down.
Right, exactly. Boundaries are really, really important.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Wow.
Now, you mentioned replenishment, and I had this practice in college where I had this thing called a replenishment cycle. And it's not something that I'm doing well right now, especially with, you know, the last year and the pandemic and all that. But, you know, it was things that I would set for myself, like once a week I will do this, once a month I have to do this. You know, every day I'll spend 10 minutes doing this thing, and right now that doesn't exist for me, but it's, you know, things that I do that give me rest.
That's great. And rest is different than sleeping, isn't it?
Yes. Unfortunately, sometimes.
Well, no, but the thing is, you should be, ideally, life should be possible to have both, not sacrificing one for the other. Right?
Yeah.
So if I'm going to rest, all I can do is sleep. Well, no. I mean, you can rest with reading a book. You can rest with cooking. You can rest with taking a walk in nature. I mean, there are all different components and descriptions of what rest would look like, not just sleeping.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's something I also had to learn was, you know, I can't choose a nap as part of this replenishment cycle. It does have to do things that, you know, bring me energy and make me feel rested, even if physically I'm maybe have a little more tired afterwards,
right.
You know.
Sure.
And Jacob, you mentioned too, as far as like, you know, it's difficult to say no. That's self-care in itself as well, to try to say no more often. That's better for yourself because you can only please so many. I've learned that in definitely in the last at least 10 years of trying to say it a little bit more often, and I'm like, I can't please everyone. It's almost nearly impossible. Your plate only can hold so much.
Exactly.
But you're younger than I am, so he can do it.
Oh, man.
Well, what's interesting is that you bring up the age piece, and if you think back or if you've done any reflection back over, let's say, the past couple of centuries, self-care all of a sudden seems like it's the topic of conversation. And our Unplug of last year created that. However, back in what was it, the 19th century was when self-care first started, and that was, and this might be a little controversial and might create some interesting discussion, but it was when the role of the woman in the family changed. And if you think about longevity and you think about legacy, where we are as individuals today, with everything going on, not only personally, but politically, societally, economically, it's been a process that we've been along, and so this is the result of how we have been living. The activities and the decisions of what has happened in the past. And when it comes to self-care, I think that right now it's so such a topic of conversation and importance is that for individuals, we've become so disconnected from our physical self. And we've been on this hamster wheel, in my opinion, this hamster wheel of striving, and our focus has been outside of ourselves, more on appearance, activity. I think in the big business world, it's about grinding and hustling and this and that and whatever. And what's happened is there's become an imbalance in our lives. And that imbalance last year hit us physically through the virus. If you take a look back over the last 10, 20 years, or what I personally experienced over the last 20 years, just to talk about one system, our food system has changed significantly. And we've become more drive-through, more fast food, more instant gratification, and eating what we've called food, created as food, and yet it hasn't been food which nourishes and supports our system.
Right.
And that's just one aspect of it. I mean, at the core of self-care, it really is a set of rituals, regimes, simple daily practices that help us as individuals recharge. It helps us to repair, and it helps us to regroup, and to Jacob's experiences and what he shared daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, replenish ourselves so that we're back at a state of balance so that we're so much more, so we can give more,
right,
so we can serve more, so we can show up better. Truly, self-care is for everybody. And it's for every body. Self-care spans gender, age, ethnicity, economic environment, social classes, country, and culture. And if you take a look around, you'll see, like for instance, the Blue Zones. There are, five places around the world where they have the healthiest lifestyle that brings longevity. And there are specific components of that, and that is environment, it's food, it's a sense of community, it's so many things. And we actually have a place here in America, Loma Linda, California, that actually is a Blue Zone, a recognized Blue Zone. It's a fascinating book. I would highly recommend it, that people would read it so that they understand. And as a resource, that's going to help just shift the lens and perspective. I mean, I'm all about that, having that conversation about, okay, this is where you are. This is where you're going. Is it serving you well? If not, then let's take a look at what else is available, right? Is there a perspective change?
That's pretty impressive, actually, because while you were talking about that, I had no clue there was such a thing called blue zones, and I looked it up, and there it is. There are quite a few spots, and there is one in California, and there's Iowa, Minnesota. There's a bunch of different places, and, of course, worldwide. So that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it really is. And I have a dear friend and business colleague who has supported, who has educated me so much more on blue zone living and making small incremental changes that at this time in my life, that's the largest impact on my self-care. And it's taking a look at the food component for me personally. So check it out on Instagram. Check it out. I mean, go on the internet. Check it out. It's a great book. They've got a wonderful cookbook. And, I think it just will bring a little more, if you will, flavor to your life and your self-care. So if we really take a look at self-care and give yourself permission, what you're doing is you're allocating time to focus on yourself. Typically, self-care is marketed exclusively or significantly more to women. And it's all over social media with lots of pictures of wine and girls' nights out or girls' gathering, meditation, there's massage, there's beautiful exotic vacation pictures, and then there's body products. There are ways to meditate, yoga practices, hot tea. I mean, but what's interesting is that to be able to embrace self-care and understand what self-care is and what works for you, it really comes down to a personal inventory and reconnecting to yourself, not only physically, but emotionally, mentally, and even spiritually. And when any of those aspects are out of alignment, it creates an imbalance in your entire life. And I'm just chatting on and on and on.
Well, I'm agreeing with you, and you couldn't. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. As you know, obviously the physical side of self-care. Socially, there's a side to self-care, mental, spiritual, and, of course, emotional. They all affect and impact people in different ways, especially what we're dealing with the COVID situation. It's taken back, a lot of my hosts. They are no longer coming to the studio, and that is a big social self-care issue. So they're doing things now like you online, which we're still trying to bring that in as a social atmosphere. It's just missing something slightly, which we are trying to adjust.
Sure.
My boys, you know, they miss being with their friends at school, you know, because they for a while had to really cut back and there was no, you know, they couldn't go, and now they're starting to go just a couple hours a week, and it's just a little bit of immersion back into that. But they still have to just come straight back home. They can't really hang out as much until we get a little further down the line with the protection. So, you know, a lot of things are involved. And in the emotional aspect, too, because they get really bummed, and me too, because you can only play with them so much.
Sure,
like Legos.
Right.
I mean, I can play with Legos all day long. Don't get me wrong. But
and to bring up your point, Sabrina, about how it has been marketed towards women in a different way than it has towards men, I think there's a big stigma around men taking care of themselves, like you mentioned a couple times in this show. And I'd like to think that, you know, as the years have passed, that it's becoming more commonly discussed and maybe a little bit less taboo or weird, I guess, for men to practice these things that, you know, are typically done by women, you know, if you were going to
say typically. I think I'm lucky that I was raised in an area where it wasn't as much of a, you know, there wasn't as much of a stigma around it. So, you know, things like my fiance doesn't think it's weird if I do a face mask with her, for example, you know, and it's one of those like typical things. That
you didn't invite me. Come on.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Benny. one day I will, but,
awesome.
It's one of those like products where you're like, if you're a guy and you buy one at the store, you know, there's like, oh, maybe you're going to get a weird look or something. Or like people will assume that you're buying that for a female, you know?
And Jacob has nice skin, so the person is really jealous that you really do have nice skin. Well, maybe you should try.
Well, thanks.
But that is part of self-care. Typically, golf and lifting heavy weights has been solely the way men have taking care of themselves. Well, they have emotions, they have conflicting and heavy thoughts because they have added responsibilities of being family providers and running businesses, just like women do. It's just that gender-wise, there should be, in my opinion, more of an equality to it. Granted, it looks different.
Yeah, I think it's damaging in both ways too. You know, the pressure on women to act a certain way, you know, in like a heterosexual relationship, for example, or to take on the motherly role, you know, as like that being the expectation, you know, and then for the men to be the provider or be macho or all these things. I think it's damaging to both sides. And when you find kind of a common ground in the middle or start to, like, dip into the other typical roles, if you will, I think it creates a lot of freedom for self-expression and joy and rest and self-care, as you know, we're talking about today.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like you get to a place where in your relationship, because you're more connected with yourself and what feeds you, nourishes you, gives you rest, builds you up, it's the same no matter what gender. And it's important to connect to that essence of who you are and celebrate the gifts, the talents, and what you bring to the table. It frustrates me as a woman that there are such adamant and angry individuals that are seeking to be seen and heard and valued, and they're so wrapped up in that for themselves that they unfortunately do not see, hear, or value others. So what they're asking for is something that they're not giving back. So I think that right now we're in an environment where we can be very influential to our future and the future of our families, our countries, our world, if we really can connect back to ourselves and figure out for ourselves who we are, and heal ourselves and do our own personal work. And that is why this is such an ongoing, important conversation to have. I learned self-care from my mom, and what I remember about her self-care was it was cocktail hour every night with my dad for 1 hour. Don't interrupt us. It was bubble bath. It was pedicures. It was going to the beauty parlor. It was shopping. All of those activities. And I didn't have modeled for me what my dad did for self-care. And my dad traveled a lot growing up. So as a kid, I was more about out and playing, socializing. I did sports. I kind of isolated myself from my brothers and my sisters, and I needed downtime, so I was a reader. I became a writer, listened to music, and then the culture shifted. And at this point, I need to break. I need to break right here during the show. So I want to ask you a question. I'll share the next part in a minute, a couple minutes. But I wanted to thank you for listening and tuning in. And we're going to go for a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how do you pursue and how do you even get started on self-care. You're listening to The Dr. Pat Show, and I'm your guest host today, Sabrina Wright. So we'll catch you in a couple of minutes.
Are you feeling the complexity of life? Do you feel that urge to step into something greater? Tune in to Nailed It Radio. Find your simplicity within your complexity with me, life coach Carrie Nail. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com to discover what it means to use your full power to be the best version of yourself. Imagine stepping into the energy of saying yes to yourself and knowing you nailed it. For more information about me, visit CarrieNail.com. Are you ready to invest in your best self? Join Sabrina Wright as she shares tools for creating joy and balance in your life every single day. Sabrina is here to help you become your greatest advocate and empower you to make decisions that will help you live your best life. The Live the Good Life Show, connecting your physical and spiritual self. Every second Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Find Sabrina at the Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, balance.com. Tune in to the show Heart Change Consciousness with me, Dr. Trish DeRocher, as stories of inspired activism come to life. Listening to conversations with your favorite authors, change makers, and many more who practice inspired spiritual activism and transform vulnerabilities into sources of strength. Let's be inspired together through my show Heart Change Consciousness on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to branch out? Take a leap of faith. Tune in to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills on TransformationTalkRadio.com to equip, empower, and enlighten yourself. Erica will energize and excite you to power up your passionate dreams that sets your soul on fire. So, get fearlessly ready and get powerfully rooted in your yes to live it up, love it up, and let it go. Visit GetRootedRadio.com.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about Maximum Medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
You're listening to the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm the guest host today. My name is Sabrina Wright, and today we're talking about self-care and how it's not your mama's self-care, bubble baths, and pedicures. We've got a lively conversation going, and I want you to be able to participate as well. So I encourage you to call in to 1-800-930-2819. Let's hear what you've got to say. Share what you're doing for self-care. Let's talk. So during the break, we were talking about a little bit more about Blue Zone. And how it really is, there's information in there that is perspective shifting. And so how do you know what self-care is for you? How do you even get started, right? We all go through that. Well, earlier in the show, I mentioned that back in the 19th century, there was an interest in health reform that came as a direct response to the social uncertainties of the time, and this was when the women's work role changed in the family. With changing women's role, feminism created a greater general interest in health matters. And one suggestion was that it was socially logical to respond to common everyday problems by changing the way that they interacted and took care of themselves. I mean, if you look back, or if you fast forward, but kind of look back in the history, you'll find that the actual term of self-care was being coined back in the 1950s, and that it was used to describe how patients who were institutionalized could cultivate a sense of self-worth. And they did this through acts of care and preservation, trying to understand post-traumatic stress. This later then spread into a medical community focus and then to a larger community focus, cities, states, things like this. What I found that was really interesting, and this will probably need to be a conversation for another time, was that the Black Panthers back in the 50s and 60s were organizers. They were community and political leaders that were focusing on fighting racial injustice. And this was what I found fascinating. They practiced community care. So, for example, what happened during that time was that they distributed food to those who were in need in their communities. They created health clinics. They built programs to educate and share information with others in their community. And the party as a whole put care into action in very real ways into the communities. I was excited about that because it really does start with yourself, and then it flows out to your family, out to your friends, and it's an incremental growth setup so that it comes out to the communities, into the world, and into where we live and operate right now. I understand legacy. I understand longevity. However, it wasn't something that was modeled or even discussed in my young life or even young adult life. It was about the here, the now, the me, this is what I want to do, without any thought as to the future. And I think that right now, in our current social situation, we're having to think about those things. We have many women who are out of work, and now their roles have changed. Again, another big cultural shift is occurring. Their roles are changing in the family. There was a lot of homeschooling that was happening last year. Kids now are starting to go back to school, but now it's about how do we create our lives moving forward. So if we take a look at self-care, and the role of women in the family of self-care, they've had to make shifts and adjust again as to what's best for the family and the complete operation of the family unit. While as individuals, or I want to say single people or people who live alone, they've had to adjust as well. And so the focus then, what's going to feed me? What am I missing? What do I need? We're dealing with a lot of anxiety and depression. We're dealing with social disconnection. How do we come together? How do we get that sense of community back? The journey has been shifting all along. If you take a look, at your general lifespan and you look at the things that used to feed you, if you look at the activities, even the people who you used to associate with or you worked with or you played with, that's changed over the years. And so really good, purposeful self-care needs to be organic, because as we age, as our choices change and our circumstances change, we need to be fluid in that. Benny, you keep saying at your age.
Whoa. I only said it once. I mean, yeah, that's fine. You can throw me. I can take it. Shots are fired. I get it.
No. So you're worried about your knees, and you've got two young men who are keeping you busy, right?
I do. I have twin boys. They're 10.
Oh, gosh. Tons of energy.
They do. And, you know, they're more indoors now, and that's the last year and a half has been the struggles. And I try to get them outside, and they're like, no, you don't really want to, which is a struggle at times, and it's a mental game. But only for them, it makes them, like, their emotional spirits raise, you know, their vibrations a little bit more as well. And for me, too, even for just a couple of minutes, just kind of break it up a little bit. So, but yes, I have thought lately in the last, for sure, a couple of years, I mean, they are getting more active, and I've been careful on other things that I've been doing. I haven't been, you know, staying out playing ball with my guys and my friends and stuff like that, too, because I want to stay healthy for them. Eating a little bit better, too, I know that makes a big deal. Self-care that I've been aware of more in the last few years also.
Sure, absolutely.
Oh, and stretching. You got to stretch. Don't forget to stretch.
Always. Motion is motion for the body.
Right.
And if you don't move it, definitely you're going to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's harder to get back into a regular movement, flexibility, mobility-focused activity than if you just maintain it.
Exactly. Unless you're like Ichiro, because somehow that guy keeps going. He really does. I don't know how he does it. He does do a lot of stretching. That's just for reference.
Well, and the older that you get, the more important it is to be flexible and mobile,
yeah,
not necessarily strong. Life gives you bumps and hiccups and all kinds of traumas, whether, you know, Sunday school teacher or whether you're a race car driver, your body has situations where you've got impact to it. You have injury that happens to it.
Limits is what you're saying. Limits.
True limits. I mean, you can push them, but I mean, true,
right,
limits. And so,
mm-hmm,
you're better served to focus on flexibility and mobility, because as your body stays in alignment that way, you're as strong as you need to be for what you have to accomplish.
Right.
I mean, we've got joints and we've got muscles that move and stretch, and we can bend and reach and lift, but don't forget to twist and shout and jump and all of those great things. I'm excited that you have twin 10-year-olds that are going to help keep you that active.
Right.
I'm a big fan of
my friend.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. And it's also a good thing because if I draw a comparison between their age now and when I was younger, I did the whole reverse. I was outside all the time. I lived in Alaska, so there was plenty to do outside. But, man, get a book in front of me, and I would fall asleep within 5 minutes. I still continue to do that today. I'm just not a huge reader. But I put my kids in that position. They can read books for days. So I've got to give them a lot of love for the mental aspect for their self-care that way because they enjoy reading thoroughly. I mean, it's uncanny. I'm like, they get it from their mom, not from me. So I'm impressed, though, that way.
Environment.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you have a huge, exciting opportunity coming as they get a little bit older,
right.
And we come out of 2020 better, stronger, and more focused. I think that you've got an incredible adventure and journey with them, introducing them to all of those things that
right. You
grew up with and you were exposed to.
Mm-hmm. Yep, still do that. We try to sneak out. You know, again, it's limitations right now for the general public and so forth. So those are the tough times for us parents, especially newer parents, even younger than me or older with younger kids, I should say, that need to get them out. I mean, that's the struggle that they're facing. And same with me. It's like I want to go out, but there's limitations on what we need to do. So we have to be very creative and push our brain a little further to find those options.
Yeah. How about you, Jacob? How has your self-care changed from 5, 10 years ago to now?
Yeah, so 5 years ago, I was still living in my college town, which is Eastern Washington, and that matters because the pace of life out there is a lot slower than it is over here on the west side, you know?
Uh-huh.
So a lot of the self-care practices I had out there were, you know, slower, more, you know, almost like, I would say peaceful, I guess. So some of them were, I'd go on a hike every 2 weeks or so. I would be sure to read frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And over here, I've found that I have a lot less time to read. And I know that that's not actually true. I have the same amount of time, but it's the way I prioritize things.
That's a really important part. True.
So I think my self-care out here is maybe a bit more social, and it has to do with in out of town, spending around other people. My family lives over here, so I can easily prioritize time with them, working on projects at their house or, you know, going on drives through the city, things that I couldn't do out in Pullman. And so I think the geographics of it have really shifted and shaped the way that I practice self-care now, but also just the people that are around me, I think, really affect that for me.
Sure, absolutely. That's so true. And I mean, that's how in different stages of life, in different situations, as you live and grow and do and be, you need that fluidity. It's and yet there is an importance and a discipline that a self-care focus has on an individual. I know a couple of people who have non-negotiable time. This time is dedicated every single day for this, this, and this. And if I am not able to do that, it affects the whole rest of my day, and it's not worth it. And so that would be that first cup of coffee in the morning. I don't know about anybody else, but if I can walk in the yard and it's a kind of a crisp morning. Oh, we have a caller.
I didn't want to interrupt you, though. If you want to continue.
No, that's okay. I'm just so excited.
All right, well, let's bring on our caller. It's Lisa. She's joining us from Southern California. Hi, Lisa. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Good afternoon, or almost afternoon, to all three of you.
Thanks.
I have to say, I'm a huge fan of this show, and I have listened to different people on Transformation Talk Radio. But having the three of you, the dynamic and the interaction of the three of you has been really powerful and really inspiring. And my question to you all three is...
That was very sweet of you. Very sweet of you. Thank you. I'll send it for everybody.
My suggestion is I think it'd be fabulous if you all would offer, and not necessarily together, but offer a webinar or some sort of gathering where you could have continue this conversation with people, because there's a lot of people that don't realize how vital self-care is. So especially, I mean, I'm so impressed, Jacob and Benny, that you guys do things and practice self-care, because like Sabrina said throughout this last almost hour, it's more women focused usually than men, and it is absolutely a universal human being, almost like an animal. Animals are better at self-care than humans are, right? And male-female animals, right? Mm-hmm. So, I don't really have a question. I just am encouraging you all to maybe think about taking the next step and offering your services, because I think it'd be really, really empowering the people.
Oh, thank
love
you.
That. Totally appreciate that, Lisa. Yeah, thanks so much.
Well, have you thought about that, guys?
It's a possibility, or you just continue listening to the Transformation Talk Radio Network. There's plenty there, as well as KKNW, for all your, you know, actions to be helped out with. And so,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, again, thank you, Dr. Pat,
mm-hmm.
for the opportunity to be here today to have this conversation. Truly, truly blessed and such a gift. This month, May, is Mental Health Awareness Month. So last month was Stress Awareness. This month is Mental Health Awareness. And so I would encourage everybody to really take that self-inventory and take a look at just what is working for you, what isn't working for you, what feeds your body nutritionally, but also what feeds your spirit, what brings you that giddy little joyful bubble right in your core, right in the essence of your being. What brings you that? And do more of that. Self-care as a basic routine, there are some things that I recommend, and it helps with mental health, because what you're doing is you're investing in yourself. It's staggering to understand that 1 in 3 adults here in the U.S. have reported symptoms of anxiety or depression. And I think it's vital that practicing self-care is the greatest opportunity to change that. So it's a great place to start, and it's one step at a time, making small incremental changes to how you live your life. You can pick one area and just build a new habit. I would say, one new habit a month, get that really solid, and then the next month, make another change. And as you develop these new habits, you're going to begin to find benefits in all areas of your life, which in turn motivates the continual shift towards self-care in other areas. So number one, Benny, you said this, Jacob, you have as well. It's about getting physical. There are psychological benefits that come from movement. You have a higher self-esteem for yourself. There's better sleep. You squash depression. You eliminate anxiety. And this doesn't mean that you have to be going to the gym, because right now, quite frankly, you know, some places you can, the gym is open and some aren't. But the thing is, it's about movement. So get back out into nature. A second thing is affirmation. What are the thoughts and what are you talking to yourself about? Positive words. These feed your subconscious. And practice it for at least the next 30 days. Be purposeful about that. I also recommend journaling. Now, I'm a big journaler, have been all my life, and some people just don't write. So, journal. You can make bullet points. You can just do a brain dump where you just empty your whole entire brain onto the page, but it's going to really be helpful to refocus that brain and leave negativity behind. I also recommend adding CBD to your routine. It's one of my newest staples in my self-care regime, and it's so versatile. It helps with anxiety, pain in the joints. It calms inflamed skin.
CBD helps for a number of things, and you can find that on my website, The Right Balance, The Right, W-R-I-G-H-T, balance.com. Also incorporate a sleep routine. And this is one of the best routines that you can start, because getting improved sleep and deeper sleep improves your energy, your productivity, and it recharges your battery. I know that our time is winding down here, but I want to continue the conversation. So I would like to invite you to join me next week on my show, Live the Good Life Show, here on Transformation Talk Radio and on KKNW next Thursday, the 13th at 11 o'clock in the morning, as I have a special guest, and we're going to continue this conversation. So, gentlemen, I hope that you are up for it, and I want you to be part of it, and I want you as audience listeners to start having that conversation amongst yourselves. Start changing that self-care perspective. Right?
Yeah, I agree 100%. And thanks for having me, for sure. And Jacob can speak for himself, obviously.
Yeah,
he's not too shy, I know that.
Exactly.
A lot of fun, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an important conversation to have.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely important. So engage in practices that fill you up in every way. If I were to leave you with one last thought, it would be this. Self-care is necessary to feed ourselves with love, loving thoughts, in order to show up more fortified as individuals, more complete, and to be able to give and serve to others. You two gentlemen are fed greatly by that, and you shared that today early in our conversation. I would encourage you to find practices and engage in them that fill you up in every single way. And that would be food that nourishes and is enjoyable. That would be movement every day. That would be socializing, whether it's with your family, your friends, and in your community. Practice 5 minutes of stillness and develop a sleep routine. And the reason why you need to do all of this is because you are worth the investment and you are carriers of great gifts to yourselves, your families, our communities, and to the world at large. So on behalf of Transformation Talk Radio and the Dr. Pat Show, I'm Sabrina Wright, and I want to thank you for joining me here today. Check out next week's podcast, next week's conversation on Live the Good Life Show. If you'd like to get in touch with me, go to my website, theright, W-R-I-G-H-T, balance.com. Until next time, be well and invest in yourself because you're worth it. Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen.